You are listening to Let's Go, the weekly anime podcast about the weekly anime from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. It's Dwayne.
Who are you?
It's me, Brian. Niall's not here because I was ill yesterday and Niall's at work today. Because I'm waiting a COVID-19 test that should have been here 10 minutes ago, but is delayed in transit. Which
he was hoping you're not sick or something.
I was Tuesday morning. I took the Monday off, so I keep on thinking it's Tuesday today because I had two Sundays this week.
I still keep thinking it's last month and it's nearly over. Not unusual.
It'll soon be last month this month tomorrow.
Yes, and then I'll be 2 months out.
But what months are we talking about today? We're talking about the 21st of September 2020 to the 27th of September 2020 and the anime that aired that week and that of which we watched. No exceptions this week. It all aired this very week. Let me close those notes. I don't need to see those.
That'll be a rare exception, and it'll also be the rare exception of us having a few episodes to talk about.
And we start off with Extra Olympia Kyklos, Episode 18, The Philosopher's Dinner Table, in which that sneakier Leon reveals what it is that their Olympics has to offer that the Tolympics don't, which is delicious foods of the area.
Yeah, no, as he was talking about it, I was like, oh, I remember that. They send their slaughter like 100 bulls and everyone gets a burger as part of a Zeus offering. I mean, like, it's pretty vague, but it's just like, yeah, it's a good excuse to feed the masses, I guess.
It's the equivalent of a ancient Greek hog roast. And so, yeah, the mayor puts our friend Demetrius onto it once more. And what can he do but travel forward in time and then discover... I know what he ends up with. I can't remember what the things he rejects.
He ends up... Oh, crap. Does he meet your man in the street or does he meet him in the restaurant? I think he meets him in the restaurant initially.
Yeah.
Because, he's in the restaurant and your man's just like, hey, you want to try this? He's like, raw fish.
Is it lots of things they'd already got as well?
It's things they got, but also things he doesn't like.
Yes.
So it's a combination, which is nice.
Until there's the final
thing. Oh, yeah, and he won't try seaweed. That's the other thing he won't try. Yeah, yeah.
Until the final thing, which he's totally amazed by and brings back, which turns out to be instant ramen, but this time, of course, using the vases that he makes.
That's a pretty good fucking, that's a pretty good go of it. I can't remember what fucking show that was. I feel like it was a Terry Jones one, but he was talking about like fast food and ancient Rome and stuff. And it was basically just like a little kind of gruely kind of meal. like beans and stuff, legumes. And it was like, actually sounds pretty good. And I was just like, yeah, you could probably do that with pots pretty handily, but they're impressed by this fucking amazing. It's just like, but it's just like fucking dried out wheat and shit. It'll taste like terrible. It's absorbed all the flavor. Because noodles are great. Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. The recording stopped. Right. I just have to get the first bit of audio off the YouTube channel. These things are sent to try me, and they've been very trying getting this thing up and running in the first place. But behave, Audacity. Every other bit of technology has defied me tonight, so why shouldn't Audacity give it a go as well?
Yeah.
Righty-ho. And then the ending theme, we get to see a live-action version of our bard.
Would you say in a mask or heavily makeuped or just in a massive fucking wig and beard?
It's a massive wig and beard and glasses.
It's a disguise. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
yes, it's just live action footage of... But the bard is like a early 1970s folk singer.
I thought he was going for like a crooner look, but yeah, with the long hair and everything, I assume that's what they're going for. Sure.
Then, next up, we've got God of High School, Episode 12... Fox / God, and I watched this while I was ill, and I don't know how much of it was due to me being ill and how much of it was due to the episode.
I feel like besides taking some maybe not so legal substances, I feel like that was one of the better ways you could have watched this. I feel like it's just like, whoa, that was a strange dream. What? It's recorded on Crunchyroll. That's strange.
Anyway, tournament cancelled. We got a bunch of Jegel's background, which is essentially his mum sold him to a rich man to be raised as his heir, and the rich man taught him some very bad lessons.
I have seen that in media so many times, but I still don't believe it's a fucking thing. That happens that often, I guess. Yeah, and the rich guy, the first lesson he's teaching him is just like, see your mother there? She had to sell you for money. She's a loser. We don't have losers in this family, just winners. And that's like his philosophy then. You're either a loser or a winner.
Yeah.
And later on, he eats his foster dad with whatever the hell his power is, which I thought was just sharks, but now I'm fucking questioning it.
I think he's got multiple ones.
Oh, okay. They definitely all involve mouths, but other than that, I can't tell you. Yeah.
Yeah. And then while he and Epio are fighting, the key appears out of one of them.
I assume it's out of Epio, and I assume he's like kicking the key out of him, basically, because it appears when he gets knocked out temporarily, isn't it?
It is. And then he eats him as well. And then, meanwhile, God is here, which is why the tournament's cancelled. God's
coming out of the sky, yeah. Or, no, God's already been kicked ass by the combined efforts of all the lads and the musicians, right?
Yeah.
It's the angels that are here now is the problem.
Yeah, but then God follows them and takes corporal form.
Right. Yeah.
Which then leads to the granddad. Zappelli. That's not who he is, but that's what he looks like. If he'd made it to granddad age.
Well, Zappelli was granddad age, wasn't he? Because of Hamon? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Looks like Zappelli who hasn't taken care of himself.
And that's why, and also America decides, oh, we better nuke God.
Oh, shit! God's
that
God's
was the bit
soul.
Which
we
that was the bit which was like, oh, that is clearly like that's definitely a South Korea thing and fear.
I mean, like, they're probably fucking terrified of us. Yes. Yeah, we're allied with America. Please don't fuck us up. We know you could, and we know you would.
In attempt to protect us, you'd end up fucking us up. Yes.
Yeah. For sure.
That is specifically, I think, the fear which is manifesting in this story. But yes, he uses his powers, which appear to be many, to teleport the entire city away from the city as these nukes are coming, every single person in there.
We have a guy with the cross on his hand holding up God,
yes.
And the head of the musician guys, I mean, he's not been given a name as far as I fucking know, the hobo-looking musician guy, and he's holding it up with, I've forgotten, a different religious symbol. So you got Christianity and another religion, presumably like a Korean native one, like trying to hold God out of fucking Seoul. what are these words? But he busts through those and he's about to nuke the entire lot of Korea. So he teleports everyone else somewhere else. I mean, like he teleports a bunch of them out, but then a bunch of them are teleported into like a fantasy land or something. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. There's like a separate teleportation thing. But anyway, yeah, he also transmutes all the nuclear missiles
into one big nuclear missile with faces, which he then uses
to getting some Bayonetta shit for sure. Yeah.
Which he then uses to headbutt God, but in order to make sure that it's got enough strength to get through God's force field, he then summons a meteorite to give it a push
to give the multiple headed, multiple war headed. Oh, they're warheads.
Yes.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah. Okay, that didn't occur to me. To give the warheads a push to headbutt God. Fucking yeah, it's a weird show, man. I can see why they cancelled the tournament.
And then Jegel gets the key because Murray's got it at that point when he comes back, and he gets it off Murray and then absorbs it into himself, turns into a baby, and then rapidly evolves into some sort of demon angel creature.
I thought it was the weird thing when he opens like a mouth in the side of his gut and just jams the key in there. But no, it was him turning into a baby and then growing up into an angelic version of himself in minutes, seconds, whatever.
Yeah. Now, I don't mean to say that I know anything which was going on in this episode, but I will say... I was pleased the tournament was over and we were just getting more of this nonsense.
You see, like, I like the tournament stuff because obviously they put a lot of care into the animation of the different fighting styles, and I really appreciate that. But it's just mad bastard shit, and I can see why they wanted to get to this quicker. Yeah,
yeah. Sure. It's like, yes, it's fun animating martial arts, but it's not as much fun as animating a dragon because the dragon gets a bunch of action as well in this episode.
Yeah. There's a bunch of mad stuff.
And because I feel like they really like your judge with the glasses on, whichever one he is.
Yeah. Q. I feel like he'd be the main character of a lot of other shows, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, once next episode is done, I don't intend to come back to this, I don't think. But this was a very psychedelic, weird episode. And it has tended to have put the most effort into those psychedelic weird scenes.
Yeah, for sure.
Even the CG angels worked quite well. Mainly because they were up against like really impressive hand-drawn animation, like the dragon.
Yeah, and the guys like fighting them on foot with their powers. Yeah. It was very well done, but weird as fuck.
Yes, I can't believe the drubbing some people are giving this. I don't like it that much, but come off it.
What's the problem they're having?
This sort of nonsense, this crazy hallucinogenic.
That's the thing, it does very fucking good, though.
I was going to say, yeah, I feel like it does both things well. It's whether both of them should be in the same series, isn't it?
See, that's the thing. I could see people being put off by it. It's like, because they came for the martial arts tournament with some super-powered flavors on top. I was like, yeah, that's fine. That's not what it is.
No, we get the superpowers. And
it's mostly about the crazy psychedelic superpower.
And as I understand it, it will get crazier and weirder way it goes on. But I'll let other people discover that because I've got there's better versions of this. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But what are you going to do?
But in a season when Ninja Collection was available and streaming on Crunchyroll, I don't see how anyone can say this is the worst thing we shared this season.
Like, worst thing is such, like, generally for a thing to be bad, I would say it has to be not entertaining, and this is not that. This is not.
No.
It's engaging. It at least makes you go, the fuck am I looking at?
And it's not. And it's like, I mean, I like GB8 more than I like Ninja Collection. I see people say, oh, GB8's the worst thing. GB8's incompetent. GB8 is a show where their reach outstretched their grasp.
I mean, like, I still enjoyed what little I watched of it.
I've gone back and watched another episode of it.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, if the other character shows up, I'll go and check that episode out.
Right.
And it's about, it hasn't got worse. It's as bad as it was at the start.
It's maintaining its consistent level of fun trash.
Because, it's like where the angels looked fine in this episode. Those CG monsters.
The monsters
in GBA
look exactly the same. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just ugly as hell. But Ninja Collection exists, people. It is truly, it is a candidate for one of the worst anime ever made.
Besides, like, enjoying some of the character stuff, mostly the fighting, and definitely the weirdness, like, that's why we've been talking about this show for as long as we have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's super competent at what it's doing. I feel like the choice of the noses and the ears
that's a modern artistic thing that I don't like in everything I see, but it's fine. It doesn't bother me.
That's about the only thing which bothers me about the presentation of the thing. So
I remember I was watching the new She-Ra and that bothered me like initially, but then I was watching it, I just sort of faded and it was like, no, this design's great. I'm quite happy with it.
Righty ho. Next up, we've got Wacky TV Nanana, episode 24, exclusive, the Wacky TV Fireworks Festival, in which, in lieu of an ending, they just have a fireworks display, which inadvertently kills the Kraken while they're doing it.
So, failure, I guess.
And then the Cyclops continues to try to convince them that he is more interesting than the cryptid.
But he's more rare. There's only one of him.
Yeah, why don't you drain another lake and I'll be hiding at the bottom of it. You can discover me. it's clear that this is a way that lots of TV Tokyo shows end their programming, is by having a fireworks display. And that is what they're satirizing here.
Well, it's cheap, and we have fireworks left over from the last one.
Yes, and, and the people acting this out can't believe what a lame ending they've done, judging by the the total corpsing over the credits.
Yeah, yeah, they can't keep it straight of how bad a job they're doing, which is, it's very funny. It's just infectious, their laughter. One of the things that is great about it, yeah.
It's not as good as the second season. I've still yet to watch the first season.
Same. I must go back.
The best section is the bit with your guy from Hudson Soft, I would say. Those two episodes.
Yeah, that was really solid. There's some good. There's been some good jokes, though. That's the thing. And anytime the guy with the fastest tap.
Yes.
They had some really good cracking up bits in that. So, you know, those tend to be the better ones.
Then on to a definitely not disappointing fireworks display. It's Decadence, episode 12. Decadence. In which, it's very whatever the second Matrix was.
Wait, isn't it not good?
No, but the bit where the explanation of...
Oh.
Yes.
When, I see. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So they're going to the... So he's... Kaburagi is now in Decadence. So he's now, it's Kabudence, as it's explained by Jill.
I mean, like, the only one calling it that are the little robot guys on the outside. No one else is calling it that, but okay.
Yeah. And then we get another bit of... Natsume trying to imagine the various different stages of Kaburagi once more, because the gag of what she imagined his robot form looking like.
Like a little ball version. Like, basically, like Kaburagi's head, but like just a weird, fat, chibi version of just his head with arms and legs. It's good. And then that with Decadence, he's like, all right, I guess I gotta fucking roll with it.
Yeah, so they're gonna try and... Jill contacts Minato, isn't that the captain?
Yeah, she gets the idea from the kid going like, hey, it doesn't have enough power to fight him off, but it's like, hey, but you know, the boss helped me rebuild my hand and stuff. And I was like, wait, we got a load of parts all over the fucking spot.
Yes.
We could just recycle them and just throw together something that might work once.
Yeah, they go refuel them, and then they need to get a zone to bring them to them. So the planet, so they get him to announce that this is the final game of Decadence, is to recharge all these objects, of which, of course, all the avatars rush off, leaving the humans to wonder what on earth they're doing, because they're not getting the message in their display, because it's not a game. And then everyone else learning...
Well, for them, they've just defeated all these shrimp guys, and it's like, where the fuck are they going now? Like,
and then the people on the station are like, shit, it's the very last game of Decadence, we've got to log in before the servers are shut down.
Yeah. I haven't logged in ages, but like, just checking the things. And I did like the two guys who are running the servers going like, why the fuck is everyone logging in? Jesus. And I was just like, yeah, have you never seen like when they do, it's like, hey, we're shutting this game down. It's like, and everyone waits until it fucking ends. It's like, it always happens.
So they're going to do that. The humans are going to, what they're all sort of repairing stuff inside. And get ready. And then we get this conversation between the system and Kaburagi, where the system explains that the bugs are part of the system, they're there to evolve the system, and I love
the way... Yeah, it's the bugs are an intentional part of it, because if the system can't deal with random bugs, it'll be in real trouble. So it needs bugs to exist in it in order so it can combat them, if they do show up in reality, like that giant fucking monster over there, for example.
Yeah, it's also to make sure the system doesn't stagnate.
Yeah.
Kaburagi appears not to listen to any of this. Says, no, I'm doing this by my own free will. I like the fact that the system does not reply to him, because that's just the system working, him having his free will to rebel against the system.
I'm not going to fight you on this. I mean, like, you doing this is part of it. So
yeah, so here you go. Take control of the Decadence.
And just said I'd explain this because I'm the system thing and you need to read through the fucking legalese before you're allowed to use it. Yeah.
But I like the fact that she never came back to him on his rebelling. I was like, yeah, okay, here you go. It's all yours, Kaburagi.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you'd expect Kaburagi not to listen to that at this point in the story.
Yeah.
Because he's beyond being reasoned with So yeah, they the way they go to get the zone is basically Donatello fires himself into the Galdol's mouth. Well,
yeah, they set off the Galdol again to get it going, and Donatello has some giant, like giant weapons of mass destruction version of needles that he's been saving for just this special occasion, and he bravely sacrifices himself and all. The robot guys are crying. It's like, oh no, boss. Ah, Jesus. That was really funny though. I was just waiting for it to happen because I was like, yeah, but he's fine, guys.
Right here. And then they're all disappointed at him that he hadn't really died.
Oh, that wasn't, you didn't sacrifice yourself nobly? What a piece of shit.
And then of course they make a giant drill out of all these pieces because that's the way you deal with these sort of things. And yes, the Galdol is defeated. Everyone's saved from Doflamingo's birdcage.
There is one thing though. When they have the thing ready to go and they're ready to shoot the drill at it, and you have our girl pushing that last piece. We need the last piece. And he's like, "We're fine. We don't. That's just an extra bit. We don't need that." And all the other humans go like, "Come on, we can do it." And he's like, okay, come on, bring it in, guys, bring it in. You're part of this now. I'm going to build you into the drill just so it's your victory.
Oh, yes, because they're in the drill when they fire it up.
I was just like, that's unnecessary, but it's good to make them think they have the win. Yes. Okay.
Well, which I guess is like the system making Kavaragi think that he's rebelling.
Yeah.
When actually the system requires people to occasionally rebel. So there could be a new system put in place that we see 3 years later. It's now a farm game.
Okay, so it's got a bunch of like Minecrafty kind of make your own things, but definitely like Stardew Valley, like farming. Yeah. You can raise your own Galdol and play with them. It does have like a dungeon thing, so very that kind of like, which I was just like, and there's a sports thing of like a zero G thing. Yes. And I was just like, yeah, that's the way games go now. So yeah. I guess that's pretty cool.
And Asumi's running guided tours for the cyborgs. So the cyborgs are coming and living alongside the humans.
Mm. The cyborgs are like, help the humans grow the crops. And they're just like, oh, sweet. I fucking love hoeing.
Oh, yes. And then, because the bit we mentioned is they're going through the files, weren't they? And Jill they ask Jill, what's that red file? And she goes, oh, that's the file where I backed up Kavaragi. Oh! And then 3 years later, our final scene is Kavaragi, who we thought had died with the decadence, is back!
They just downloaded him into a new body.
Everybody gets their happy ending.
Yeah, it's the super happy ending. It's really fun. It looks fucking great.
The only two people who don't get a happy ending are the two systems admins who are still in charge of everything.
Yeah, I did like the way your man's like, what's it like to be the supreme leader? It's like, oh, it's okay. I mostly make those two guys do fucking all the work. They're just freaking out because everyone's logging in to go farming.
Yeah. I guess going back, if I was going to rewatch this, I think the thing to watch would be, was Jill the designer of the system and she knew this was how everything was supposed to behave?
Yeah, I feel like that might be the case, but I feel like she's also not 100% sure it's going to go that way. Because again, chaos has been incorporated into the system. So she's like, I guess I should help it out this way. So that's why she's helping out the rebels, because her purpose is to help out people to rebel.
Yes.
To give them the ability to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, because she feels like the one character who may know the secret which were revealed in this episode prior to this episode.
But I mean, like, even she's capable of failure. It was like, oh, that's where I backed up Kavaragi. Oh, son of a bitch. Yeah, we can just fucking re-download him. It's fine.
Yeah, and the system makes its explanation of why this thing happened because of the terrible things humans did in the past. They couldn't be trusted to behave themselves, which will be a plot point in a couple of shows' time.
I thought it was a good way of doing it as well, because like you said, they left it open to potentially do a sequel. They did suggest that there are several of these domes where maybe different versions of the system are playing out.
Yeah, I think this is fine as a singular thing.
It's fine on its own. I mean, whereas, what I'm saying is if they had something else, if they had a new idea to add to it or to develop it further, they could do that, but it's not really necessary. It is a complete whole, yeah.
Whereas the next two shows definitely feel like they're setting themselves up for sequels.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain about that either, because I would watch those things.
And we got a Pari Ranma on episode 13, Over the Moon, in which our heroes confront Gil. Devilish plan to plow a train through Chicago.
It's a pretty good evil plan. I'm not sure like where the profit is besides chaos, but that seems to be what he's looking for. So
it is, yeah.
He does keep complaining when the guys show up. He's like, what the fuck? I told them to slaughter you. Why are you all down here?
They're a lot more competent now.
And I did like the way it's like, none of you can beat me. And he's like, yes, but we can beat you together. Everyone stand in the line. I'll cut the bullets. And when he runs out of bullets, we rush him. Good plan. Solid plan.
Then Dylan and TJ show up and say, let's leave this to the adults. You go and deal with the train.
I think the only thing TJ continues to say is, I'm going to kill Gil. And yeah, he takes off the, I assume, weighted fucking hat he was wearing the entire time, the way it thumps down. And he does have pretty eyes, so he was telling the truth there.
That was true. I love the fact of like how, with the mask off, he becomes the prettiest character in the show.
But there's so many pretty yeah, it's pretty good. That was a good bit that they set up for themselves for quite some time. Yeah, a lot of good payoffs in this. And again, the thing that they can beat Gil with now is they're fighting together. What does it? It's like, yeah, he might be 1,001 and you guys are 1,001s and he's better than each of you individually, but you're two guys. You have multiple guns between you. You can beat this guy.
The other guys manage to stop the train, rescue Sophia. They stop the train by putting the apparel.
The lads jump on the train. I loved when your man jumped on the train and then, what's the kid's name? Al jumps on the train. And and kind of goes like, oh, that's very reckless. And then she also jumps on the train.
Yes.
And they're there, like, Sophia's like tied up in the caboose and the brakes have been cut so they can't stop the train. So they're just holding Sophia while, while a parrot, how do you even describe it? Like, fucking basically does it like a skid to get in front of the train, rams it into the fucking cowcatcher, and like, he says it's like a tug of war, but it's more so like pushing against the train. We got to beat this train's engine into submission.
Yeah, it's like a sumo. It's like a sumo.
Yeah, yeah.
Situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't kill Gil. They're going to bring him to justice.
Yeah, because it's what your one would have wanted. And it's just like, yeah, because he'll hate that. Like, us killing him would just kind of prove his point as well.
They offer a Pare to punch him if he wants.
Yeah, because Gil's in the boot, like, tied up, which is great. A great visual. It's like, just completely depowers him as a villain. And he's like, no, I've defeated him and his train. He's already lost. And he's like, I'll get you next time. And, you know, before he gets to finish his threat, they just shut him in the boot.
And then a month later, it's a racing anime again. As we get to the finish line.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it looks like it's very wacky races, the finish.
Oh, it's very wacky races. And what I appreciate is everything they've done, like in saving the day in Chicago and everything, has added to their legend. And that's part of the race commentators talking about it. And I was just like, oh, that's rad as fuck.
I like brothers came in a day and a half later.
they didn't go off at the appointed time. No. They were like, they slept it in.
Well, they're only paid to sabotage the race. It doesn't really matter. They weren't there to.
They're not in it to win.
No,
they're just in it to dick with it. Yeah.
And that's and then yes, the Apare wins by using another booster to basically fly over everybody. they drive up buildings along the sides of buildings.
Yeah, they have to launch the booster at the last turn rather than at the last straightway in New York. And rather than turning the corner, they basically like ram into the building and are driving along the side of it. It's pretty fucking cool. It's the good wacky races stuff.
And then we get a little bit of drama about Kasame going back to Japan, and then various people asking, are you going back to Japan? Are you really going back to Japan? And then we get Apare making this speech about, why did you go back to Japan, Kasame? Why did you go back? It's not fun without you here. And then turns around and Kasame's there. And he's like, how long were you there for the entire thing?
Whole thing. I sent a letter home. It's grand. My fiance probably married someone else at this stage. It's grand. Also, there's like a kung fu lady who I think I have a thing with. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. And probably needs to keep an eye on Apare and Hatote while they build an aeroplane.
Well, they build an aeroplane, and then Al offers him, hey, you want to come over to Europe, generic Europe, with me and build cars? And he's like, no, now I'm building planes. And it's like, okay.
There's our sequel.
And then the moon. That's two sequels. Unless you want to do the moon and the second one as well, which you might as fucking well with this kind of show.
You want to get to the moon quickly because other shows will be going to that storyline as well soon. But yeah, at that point I was like, oh yeah, if they're doing like a round the world air race, I was like, and then I was like, oh yeah, Guilty Cigar does look a bit like Transfer from the Willy Fogg cartoon.
Yeah, instead of a monocle, he's got the glass eye. Yeah. You could do it.
They definitely could do it. And I'd love to see all these characters flying planes, which look really weird and wacky and cartoony.
I guess it's weird. Like, some guys would be like, I'm very specifically about cars, or I'm very specifically about racing cars. But I'd be like, yeah, I'd be fine if everyone just went, yeah, we're into planes now.
I wonder how many engineers in this time did. Because I imagine if you're just an engineer and then this thing becomes super popular, you'd be like, I would have a go at that. That looks fascinating.
It's where the money's
well.
At. Like, a lot of the tech is the same if used slightly differently. Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same,
very tempting.
And the same sort of like daredevil thing to promote it as cross the country race they're doing this. I couldn't believe that the original storyline was a golf story. That was what the original pitch was. Which I kind of want to see that as well. But
I mean, you could basically put these characters doing anything and you'd be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good old time. There's a few rough spots in this episode which they might make.
I did notice them, especially when he was talking to like Al at the end, where they're just like, me, 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 with the mouths. I was just like, the rest of it looks so good. I was just like, it's fine. I see where you put the budget.
After they've beat Gil as well, TJ and Dylan look a bit rough and lumpy.
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, they'll probably fix it for the home release.
Righty ho. Then we've got Millionaire Detective, episode 11, All the Glitters is Not Gold. The butler did do it, but he was taking orders. And I'm going to guess that, obviously, we'd figured out the butler did it.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that we could have figured out that it wasn't his dad as well from stuff we'd seen.
Oh, I mean, like, it literally says the thing of, it's like, my father was left-handed. And it's like, oh, if we'd been paying attention, that's probably pretty obvious that he's holding things in his left hand.
Yes, because we don't see that flashback. Image of him holding the knife repeatedly.
Yeah, yeah.
Throughout the second half of the series.
And we've seen multiple shots of your man. I'd have to double-check now, but I feel like when he takes the mask off, he takes it off with his... when he presents himself in the elevator, he's taking off his balaclava mask. It's the his right hand he's using, that kind of thing. It's probably that, yeah.
The butler did it. The butler was pretending to be the dad. He was wearing a Mission Impossible style mask.
I fucking love that it was just the rubber mask thing. I did like they were like, we're going to search around this area. He's already gone, so we'll search for clues. I'll look in the secret basement, and your man's just like, I don't know, I don't know this crazy fucking tech lab. I'm going to fucking go back upstairs. And then you notice there's like a blood stain of a fingerprint on a random panel in the elevator. He presses that, a button appears. He's like, press that. It's like, oh, a secret monorail. Yes. Let's take the secret monorail.
It's a James Bond base.
Yeah, and it goes right to the... See, what I thought it was initially is their mansion. It comes out in a shed in their mansion. And you can see Daisuke is like disgusted, and he's just like, fuck. Okay, I know exactly what the fuck's up. So he kind of marches right up to his granny and goes like, you're under arrest. Why'd you do it? That kind of thing.
Yeah. And so it's the gran explaining The grad ordered the butler to murder his mother because she was going to reveal Adolium to the world, and the world can't be trusted with Adolium, and yet she's profiting off selling the Adolium.
Yeah. See, she puts him in the moral quandary of, this is basically like plutonium, but worse, because like a lot of people will have access to this, more so than plutonium, which is, you know, there's a limited amount of it, that kind of thing. So if we give it to everyone, it would be used as a great boon to humanity, like fucking free energy and shit. But also it would be used as weapons, lots and lots of weapons. And it's like, yeah, but by not giving it to anyone else, you're the only ones profiting off it. It's kind of like, that is a tough one.
Yes, and it's up to you, the heir of this family, to control it. Meanwhile, he's getting Suzue to download it all off the flash drive, ready to send it to all the research universities across the world in every country.
Yeah, she's on the download. And meantime, our other detective is going like, hey, the butler just wandered off. I'm going to go arrest him.
Yeah.
Not a great idea. He is not gut shot. He did get something stabbed in him, but he's still pretty fucking badass.
Yeah,
and he's just like, hey, I haven't been ordered to kill you, so don't fuck with me right now.
Yeah, I like they presented him as a ninja earlier on in the show, the stuff from the past of the grandmother ordering him from behind a shuttered door.
And it's just the shadow of him, and he should disappear from the light kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. So they have a struggle, and he gets his gun off him, and he's just kind of stepping forward. He's like, you won't shoot me, and he shoots him in the leg just to fucking go like, yes, I fucking will shoot you.
But he also said he won't kill him because he hasn't been ordered to kill him.
Yeah, but he will. Like, I mean, like, getting shot in the leg is bad, so...
Yes.
So they're like struggling on the ground, and that's pretty fucking cool. It just that it comes down to this very fucking small thing where he's just grabbing his wound and that kind of, oh, good stuff.
Yeah,
and he's trying to turn the gun in his wrist. Yeah.
He goes to go and find Suzue to get an ambulance, and he stumbles.
Please call me an ambulance.
And lands on the transfer button. Which is great because Daisuke finds it great because that has now relieved him of any moral quandary.
Because it is a difficult decision. Yes. It's like you give humanity a great boon, but you also give them a great terribleness. But by refusing to make the decision, your family continues to profit off it. And it's just like, what do I do? Oh, I don't have to choose. Oh, fucking grand. That's
great. You're under arrest, grand.
And she's... her eyes, like, from the sinister red they've been the entire time, they kind of go like, wait, what? It's like, what, we're not gonna make this a moral choice or anything? It's like, no, it's already done. Done deal.
Yeah. Not to do about my hands. It was entirely done by accident.
Which is better, honestly.
It is, yes. And, it wouldn't have happened at all if the grandmother hadn't been conniving in this way.
Yeah, it basically would have happened years ago, if not for this dickery. Yeah, for sure.
And then we get like a catch up with the rest of the crew.
I did like that. It's just like, oh, it's ages later. They're all using Husk for
nefarious reasons.
I mean, like, some more nefarious than others. Like, you're one just buying like loads of hilariously. I had to pause it and I had to see all the off-brand sweets from around the world. That was great.
There's lots of off-brand stuff in this.
Your man's using it to date elderly women, if that's what you're into, bud. But the Husk refuses to help your man gamble online.
Yes.
That's a crime. I'm not going to fucking do that.
The director was not even the director.
That was so good, yeah.
He was just filling in, and
he was the temporary director or something like that.
Something
and he
like
had
that,
because I did notice the mascot on his desk that was just covering over his fucking temporary part of his title, which is really funny.
He's like, oh no, I was demoted ages ago. I finally got promoted back to being director again. they've got an apprentice. Was he a character who was in it before?
I feel like he was a guy on the higher level. And it's like he's been sent down to watch them, but now he's part of the group. They're just like, hey, come on out. We're going drinking. My treat.
And there's another character in the final bit where I'm like, is that a character we've seen before? He definitely wanted to show them their face. And I was like, I can't remember if I've seen you before. They're all going out to celebrate. We see that Harry's not gone back to Division 1 because he's realized he can be a detective in whatever department he is. And then when they notice that they mentioned that Daisuke and Haruo aren't there,
they're still on sabbatical, still on holiday.
And then we zoom out from Japan, swivel the world around, and then go to New York.
We also catch up on your one where it's like she's on holiday and your man imagines how sexy that must be for himself, which is great. But he's also wearing the super suit. He's wearing the super suit and he's like, where are you? It's like, I'm just at home. I'll be there in 20 minutes. And he's coming out of Buckingham Palace, which he's clearly bought with all his money, which I'm just like, that's fucking good.
It's a quick way to establish that he's still super rich, if not richer than he was before.
Yeah. He still has technically infinite money. He puts himself in a rocket.
Yes.
Puts his car in a rocket.
An intercontinental ballistic missile fired from
with a fucking Lexus in it or whatever the fuck. Yeah. That comes out of it. There's the fucking parachute. And my favorite bit is the criminals there's this fucking dude in a super suit on top of their car trying to wrestle it. They turn around and go like, the millionaire detective, like it's fucking Batman or something.
As that line's being sung in the song, and then we get the more of the song than we've heard before with extra lyrics, and it's full loop and the third at this point in terms of like the song being about the character, the level of cartoonishness that it's reached, and gadgetry and hijinks, because the way they stop these guys stealing. Was it Adolium? That's
like an Adolium engine or something. Because they're around the world trying to stop illicit Adolium use, I guess.
Is to blow up which bridge is it? I didn't look up. I watched it too recently. Anyway, they blow up one of the bridges in New York.
One of the named ones, I don't know, George Washington Bridge or something. One of those fucking ones.
They must be coming out of the Bronx because that's where they were.
Yeah, you're right, actually. I think I'm thinking of a Southbridge. Anyway, your man is like, no, don't do it. I'm wrestling the car. I nearly fucking have him.
They guide them to the bridge, and that's where there's a shot of whoever's putting up the roadworks. I'm like, is that a character we're supposed to recognize? Because they go close in on the face.
They linger on the face to go like, oh, this dude's been paid off to do this. But I'm like, also, is this a guy I should know? Or is this a guy who's going to be in a next fucking millionaire detective? I don't know.
And then he blows him up, and then he's hanging off the edge of the bridge in a repeat of the scene from.
They play over the scene again. It's like, remember that scene?
Yeah. And then he reaches down and then decides, no, he's not going to help Harry.
Because it was just like, oh, he's changed as a character. He's grown a character. No, he's still a dick.
Which is what you wanted. That was.
Yeah.
There's growth, but not as much growth as you'd hope.
There's growth. But now he thinks it's funny.
Yeah. And also, like, the line earlier with the cops where they mentioned that he's moved out of his family home because it's been daubed with graffiti of people calling him a traitor. And then you think, oh, he's moved into the apartment we saw, or, like, the similar apartment to Haru, and then later on learning that, no, he's moved up in the world. He's bought Buckingham Palace. And apparently all the guards as well.
Yeah,
I could watch another series of this, particularly if it's as now loosey-goosey as those last 10 minutes were.
I'm fine with this show going, like, because it did, like, its serious stuff, but every now and again it'd go like, and it would just go fucking crazy, and I was just like, yeah, I'm fine with it going crazy. If it's just crazy, I'd be fine as well, but if they do have more stuff to adapt as well, so.
I mean, I don't think they really adapted much of anything. I think it was mainly made up of whole cloth with the red herring of the dad, because I think the dad might be the villain in the novel.
Right.
But
I mean, like, there's something to work off of and then make their own fucking completely mad shit, basically, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. They could just, like, be like, oh, we're trying to crack down. Like, they could be people with evil plans for Adolium could be their go-to gimmick.
And it's very vague as to what it does. I feel like it makes infinite power or something ridiculous.
Yeah, EMPs as well is what it does. It's all sorts of everything.
I mean, like, one of the basic things we saw before the dissemination of it is a dude with a fucking, I was going to say a sonic cannon, but basically claw.
Yes.
He's basically a claw.
He was basically claw.
So, with some Adolium about the place, who knows what kind of crazy bastards they'll have to fight.
But yeah, I think this of Now, the other thing is, because this is written by the guy who's been adapted for his basket, and I was like, oh, is the stuff with the devious parent involved here? I was like, is that something he was picking up when he was adapting for his basket? Has that put that in his head?
Right.
To put that into this plot here. But I think that the dad thing may have been already in there
in the story. Yeah. He just kind of changed the direction of it being the grandmother instead. Mm.
But yeah, as much as I liked his Woodpecker Office adaptation, I think I preferred this as a series of those two.
Yeah, it's kind of more... I mean, like Woodpecker Detective had its really fun moments as well, but it's having a real fucking ball in this one.
Mm. Yeah. This felt like a... Well, it was a slicker show and more of a whole piece, which tied together nicely.
Hmm. If you had to pick, and I assume it's from Decadence, A Power Iron Man, A Millionaire Detective, like, which is your favorite? They're all fucking good. I'm say that much. I was going, like, which had a good, like, because all these endings are fucking killer, and they're really good.
Oh, of the endings or of the overall series?
Of the overall and the endings, like, some of them I think ended, I think A Power Iron Man was probably the most satisfying for me. Ending-wise.
I like Millionaire Detective the most, I think, partly because it's also... The other thing it made me think of is how in Summer Wars, you've got the influential grandmother and all her influence all over the politics of Japan is presented as in a very good and worthwhile way.
This is a good thing. Yes,
look at the benefits these rich families could have to the country. And
that's a bad thing for planet Earth.
This one is like, the fact that it was the grandmother as well, and it makes a nice mirror to Summer Wars. But I still enjoy Summer Wars, but I was like,
Yeah,
it's nice to take that sort of character and flip it on the head a bit and have them presented in a more malevolent way. But it's still that very sort of... it's wrong to call it a patriarchy because it's a female character responsible. It's that sort of
like
imperial,
an old fucking money
it's
thing.
The imperial I think it's more like an imperial type thing of saying,
yeah, you're probably right,
we're the ones who know best,
we're so the ones who deserve the power.
And we're not doing it just for ourselves, we're doing it for your benefit, it's for the world's benefit, we're not sharing this information.
It'd be worse if I gave you freedom.
Yes, and that's a theme which I've, because of stuff I've read and watching Concrete Revolution, I'm always on the lookout now. Obviously, sure. Because it's also a thing which crops up in British fiction, as well as not either intentionally or unintentionally.
I mean, like, I think both are coming from both Britain and Japan are coming from a place of old money equals... God-given right to rule kind of ideal.
A bit, obviously it's slightly different in the UK in that there's also having been conquered a lot beforehand, which I'm not sure is quite the same in Japan. Until more recent years, but those themes,
there's similarities.
There's definitely similarities in those imperialistic things, and you can also see it in American fiction again. Whether they're there consciously or unconsciously, it's good to spot them. Talk of Imperial Cities, let's go back to One Piece. Two episodes later, nothing seems to have moved on. We last checked in. Episode 943, Luffy's determination, win through the Sumo Inferno, in which we open with Orochi getting annoyed at the Straw Hats for preventing the execution of Toko, and I was like, is that where we left them?
Kind of, yeah. I did watch the prior episode, like, fucking nothing happened. Like, you basically see it at the start of this episode. Zoro and Sanji are like, hey, I was going to save her. My thing's saving girls. It's like, yeah, my thing's saving little kids. It's like, whoops. So they're kind of button heads, and that joke continues in this one. So you're caught up when you watch this episode. Watching every second episode might be the fucking viable way to do it.
Also, I was assuming that the OnePieceFandom.com wiki is going to have a much longer anime notes than it actually has a description of the episode. Because I was like, I'm sure this happened a lot quicker in the comic, and a lot of these fights were barely seen.
I don't mind the fights expanded on. At least that's something to do. Oh, and no. Obviously, with those are the bits they put the animation into. But yeah, there's a lot that where it's just like a still shot of someone is like, yeah, you, I get it, we're good, move on. But you know, they can't. They gotta fill it up.
Yeah. So we've got a bunch of stuff. We've got Zoro versus Kiyoshiro, which is fine. Sanji versus Diaz Drake, which is. Got a superb sequence. Somebody really wanted to draw a dinosaur.
And a guy basically becoming a comet. Yeah.
Yes.
Comet kills dinosaur. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. We also get Brook against ninjas.
Yeah, because I thought the Zoro thing was like, ooh, this guy's also good with swords. Ooh, when that happens. But it's more so it's like that guy's went, oh, the ninjas are here. I can fuck off then. Great. Made it a little more interesting.
Still half the ninjas are still scared of Brook in his ghost form. Also, the ninjas.
I did like the contrast between the. I don't know if she has a name. She probably does. She shows up with the biwa or whichever instrument it is, and Zora's like, "Ooh, is this magic?" And it's just a machine gun. But then Brook shows up with the electric guitar and then doesn't use it at all. It's just like, "Woo, I'm a ghost." So both of them have like a guitar thing, and then. Like a slight complete deviation from that. It's fun.
Yeah, they also learn that they know who they are now. They've got all
have all the wanted posters. Just like, yeah, we know exactly who the fuck you are.
So we'll capture one and we'll find out why you're here. We get Hawkins confronting Law.
Yeah, the prison. He has the two boys in prison and he's like, hey, where's the bear? It's like, I'm not going to leave them all in the same place. You can just teleport them out. Also, you need to kill me four times to kill me because I've linked myself to your three boys. Cut, fucker. Okay, so it's clearly not like a willing thing you have to do with him, with his straw man powers. Which is interesting, but it's kind of like, these weird powers. I have no idea how to deal with it. Besides maybe submerge him in water. Speaking of which.
Yes. Queen is setting up new rules. Basically... He's dunking kid and killer in water, and as long as...
That was the only like new things revealed last episode, which you see at the start of this episode, so again, you're caught up.
As long as Luffy and the little old man...
Oh god, the Ojiro? No, that's not it.
No, it's got a bit of an H, doesn't it? Hyogoro.
Hyogoro.
While they're alive, kid and killer will remain dunked in water. So all they
he does mention at the start is like, if you do go out of the ring, though, your head gets chopped off. And if your head gets chopped off, they get pulled up. So, you know, something to consider.
But Luffy
and
Luffy's says,
like, what are you talking about? It's like, I'm not going to do that. But
I'm going to die on my own terms.
Hmm.
There's a funny bit where while he's fighting Drake, Sanji realizes that... Hiyori is in danger.
There's a woman scream and he has like a fucking techno like Terminator screen to determine where the hot ladies are. Goes over to save her, but then Zoro does the cool guy shit. All the cool guy shit.
Except he's not being cool because he just then nags her after he's rescued.
I mean, like to Sanji it looks like the cool guy shit.
Yes.
It's like I wanted to catch her and do the fucking Princess Carrie and I wanted to get all the cool lines and what the fuck? This is bullshit. But yeah, fucking deny Sanji. I mean, like, Sanji's a weird horn dog character and he's only gotten worse and worse and he had a chance to not, but then they reset him again. But at least he never gets anything. He never gets anywhere.
No, really, and so the constant cutbacks to the single, like, painted shock face of his is very funny. Particularly because nothing that he's reacting to is matching what he's commenting on, really.
Yeah.
He's like, he knows her already. Well, Zoro is basically saying, why are you hiding your... What are you doing, you stupid woman? Because that's how Zoro is. He does not appear to like women.
Mm. I don't think he likes most people, to be fair.
That's true. But they say he has a specific problem with women who act weak. That's his thing.
Well, especially when half of them are fucking really fucking strong.
Yes. That is his specific problem. But that's his issue, which we know from the very start of his story, which he had a very short backstory. he's the simplest man of the crew. And that's probably why his problems are the ones which are going to be the most difficult to be fixed.
Hmm.
Not really got that anywhere sort of fixing Zoro, have we?
Yeah, see, like, is he actually from Wano? It's like, no, I mean, like, his master probably was. The girl he was rivals with possibly was related or something. But yeah, it's just like,
How does Toshigi have a face? Is that just an amazing coincidence?
Is that ever going to get resolved?
No, exactly, yeah. Yeah, because he struggles fighting women as well. Yeah, he's got problems with women because of who he idolized and her dying early and her thinking that she wasn't strong enough to be a sword fighter.
He's got problems with women who don't think they're tough.
Yes.
Or that they have the capability to be tough, which is a different problem than Sanji does. At least that's like, yeah, come on, girl, stand up for yourself, which is a little different, but he does it in a very assholish way. But yeah, it's not the same problem as Sanji.
The problem with extending all these fights, I mean, it's the Sanji Drake one is excellent. It's a very different design for Sanji, but it works because it's super fluid, and yeah, the detail on Drake is fantastic. The problem is, you know, my question is like, it's weird that Robin isn't just making giant legs and stomping the shit out of people.
Like, someone really wants to draw a dinosaur, but someone doesn't want to draw a giant woman's foot stepping on someone. I've fucking been to the internet. Someone definitely wants to draw that. That's bollocks.
It is. And it's also weird. Madness. Usopp isn't shooting giant plants everywhere. And Nami's not
He picks
something
up the kid to run away so he doesn't have to fight, which is like, that's true, is Usopp. Usopp, all right. But, like, it's like the other crew, they should be doing stuff. We know they can do stuff. We saw the montage in this one where it's like Nami just shoots everyone with lightning. It's like, yeah, she can do that now. Go for it.
And then the very last thing which happens in the episode is there's a knock at the door of the jail that somebody wants to know where the red bean soup is.
And based off the preview and stuff, I assume she'll only pop into the jail to actually start causing the fuss right at the end of it.
Yeah, quite possibly. That's like fine, because we don't have to watch it next week, because we've got Detective Conan back.
Hey!
And a Kaito Kid episode as well on top of it. One of my favourite characters. But yes, have we figured out what was happening in Detective Conan last time we watched? The mum and the dad got the FBI agent and the Japanese
around for tea, yeah.
Secret agent to not kill each other.
Like, presumably getting them to work together to the similar goal, because they do basically have, like, the same goal.
Yeah.
Or related goals, yeah.
Yeah. And then the one-eyed cop contacted Zero and called him
Bourbon. It looks like he's up to shit. Yeah.
He called him Bourbon, which makes you think, we know he's a suspect for being rum. The fact that he's calling him Bourbon, does that mean that he is rum? Or does that simply mean that he knows about the undercover operation that he's carrying
out? Yeah, that maybe he knows so Bourbon is working both sides kind of thing.
I don't know. I that's a bit of information. I don't know how much he knows about that undercover operation. I generally get the feeling like it'll turn out everybody in the Black organization is undercover by the end of it. But
there's only one criminal here? What the hell?
He'll be the guy who's in charge, who's 120 years old apparently and should be dead. I think that's where we were, and I suspect that'll have no bearing on this Kaito Kid story.
I think all my microphones have shut down. Am I still
I can
through?
Still hear you. You're coming through loud and clear.
I'm just getting all kinds of alerts on my screen that my mic is shut down. Whatever. Okay, that's fine.
And what else do we have next week? We've got Jujutsu Kaisen starting.
Yeah.
We've got that show about a dog and a cat whose title I can't remember. Let me have a look on Crunchyroll.
A dog and a cat living together?
Is fun?
Is fun.
Something like that.
That might be it. Yeah. It looks good.
Let's take a look. Scrolling down. Why isn't this? Every day. Sorry. With a dog and a cat, every day is fun.
Yeah.
That's a short, apparently. So.
So I'm more likely to stick around, even if it's only okay.
I mean, it does look quite fun.
It does look pretty good. Yeah.
It does look pretty good. And I'm not always a fan of what the director does, but when he's done shorts, I've generally been a fan of his shorts. And what else is new? There's the new Dragon Quest as well, which I might only check in for a first episode.
I'd be curious. Like, I've only have like I've only played a couple of Dragon Quests.
I've played like a huge fan. None, but I do know that this is an adaptation. It's this the Shonen Jump strip that this is adapting is like one of the big Shonen Jump strips of late 80s, early 90s.
Was it Toriyama working on this, or was
No. This is the other one. This is the Daiboken.
Okay, okay.
So it's the other Dragon Quest anime has the Toriyama designs.
Mm-hmm.
The one which isn't as popular.
I mean, like, I like his designs on the games and everything, but yeah.
Yes, I think that'll be enough. I know Burn the Witch is also out tomorrow, in fact, but that's a movie. I'm not going to fit in time to watch an entire movie. But.
Yeah. I mean, like, maybe do a podcast on it. Am I fucking reading that right, that they're taking down Burn the Witch, the actual issues from the Shonen Jump app?
I've not noticed.
I saw something where it was like, they're only up till Friday, and I was like, is that for everyone, just to get people, like, hyped for the movie coming out or something? I'm not exactly sure. Or maybe they're available to people with, like, a free subscription, that kind of
thing. Maybe that might be it, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I might check out, I don't know when it's going to be there on, though. If it comes on, and I can't really check it out because it's not available in Europe, but hey, that's what VPN is for, is Genie Family 2020, which I think started in March or April or something.
Hmm.
But Viz picked it up, and so now it's coming to Crunchyroll.
Okay.
But only in US, America, and LATAM countries. Probably due to pre-existing circumstances.
Like some deal they already had going, kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe also the weird Viz Europe Crunchyroll deal, where Viz Europe's now Crunchyroll. I don't understand it. I doubly don't understand it for reasons I can't really discuss on the... on the podcast. But.
I mean, like, the really confusing thing is it's supposed to be similar, but obviously it's not, because we're just not getting some fucking series. Very odd one, yeah.
But yes, plenty to keep us going.
Oh yeah, for sure. After this season, I'm happy to give some new things a shot, because this season's been really good overall.
Yep. And of course, at some point, we'll get episodes that are new to us of Gal and Dino.
Hey, that'll be nice to have back.
It will be. I don't need to watch the previous 7 episodes again.
I think you're caught up.
I think I'm pretty caught up. They were like doing like little recap videos on the YouTube. So, where, I don't know where to start. Actually, the live action bit does have some issues of plot, but.
Oh, does it? Shit. Oh, maybe I need to catch up there then.
Well, yes, because it's a mystery as to what's going on with our time-traveling pop star. And
what series is he going to show up in next, or is this going to be the penultimate diaries part of it? Yeah.
Anything coming up on Secret of the Sailor Madness?
Come on,
that question for Niall.
It was, but I'm here. No, nothing coming up too soon, but we do obviously have our That's a Baseball episode. We're talking with Jake about some baseball episodes and things. We're going to try and make it like a semi-regular thing. It should be fun. I think we mentioned it last time. It was Dohodoro, Dragon Ball Super, and what was the third thing? Damn it, I can't remember. And it was one of the ones I wanted to do. So kind of like comparing it, seeing how well they actually depict baseball. Oh, it was BNA, of course, recent enough. How well did they actually depict baseball, and how well it kind of goes, and just like a lot of the baseball episodes are fairly fluff, so like, are they good, like, jumping on points for folks, that kind of thing.
Rightio, I've got an episode to edit Tiger Mask and put up for Dynamite in the Brain, so I shall try and get that done by the weekend. Otherwise, you can also find me on Twitch at Let's Go Brian, where I'm playing through Yakuza 5 at the moment. Though I don't know if I'm going to do anything this weekend, because I feel like I should really do some chores.
You can fucking stream the chores!
I've got a furniture delivery coming, unless, of course... Oh, fuck's sakes. So I've got my COVID-19 test supposed to have been arriving today. It hasn't. So if it doesn't arrive by Thursday, it's worthless.
Yeah.
I think. No, maybe.
Unless it keeps, I guess.
No, I guess no. By Friday, I think it would be fine because it's within 5 days. So I think if I think it's within 5 days. So yeah, it's fine if it doesn't get. It's Friday, I think, is fine by. But if it somehow doesn't get here by Friday, then I'm going to have to be locked down. I'm going to be self-isolated for 14 days, which then means I need to rearrange my furniture delivery. And I shall cancel my holiday.
Yeah, fucking hell.
In which case, then I won't. I will be streaming Yakuza because I won't need to take down a bookcase.
Fucking what is this planet anymore? Yeah,
it's the same as it ever was, but unfortunately, it's been exposed by its inability to handle public crises.
I'm just like, life was pretty simple, and then they added a lot of very complicated rules on top that I'm still getting used to.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's the
that's the way of it going forward, though. Yeah,
yeah, you get this test, and it's constantly calling it orders. Like, I'm not ordering a test; I'm requesting a test. And then you get the email through saying, "Oh, here's your tracking number for your order." You click on the tracking number, and it's logistics provided by Amazon.
Ah.
I was like, okay, I'll see where things are going. If I didn't already, I've now got it in brutal print in front of me. So yeah, it's somewhere in a distribution center in Leicester, as far as I can tell.
Okie dokie.
Which I used to drive past, I think, when I was working in Leicester. I had to drive past it to get to the food microbiologist that we used.
So you could go to it, yeah, in theory, if you weren't locked down.
If I wasn't self-isolating, yes. Apparently by car it's only about an hour and 40 minutes away, which is a lot quicker than I thought, but that's the miracle of the M1. That's why they built it. And that's probably why that distribution center is where it is, because it's probably really accessible to the M1, and therefore
hop on and off
yeah, get to places quite quickly, except of course when it's delayed in transit. So that might mean that they put it in something, it got part of the way down the M1 and then broke down. That has been my experience in the past when these things, because yeah, I've had a lot more things delivered in the past 6 months than I might have had it before.
That's weird, yeah.
And you start to notice these various things. And also people seem to be a little bit more forthcoming with the information as to what's gone wrong. At least with, who is it, Asda, they were quite forthcoming. In fact, they explained in great detail what's happened, which is thumbs up to them.
Yeah, like I said, it's got some weird new rules that I think we're all trying to get used to.
Yeah, except I think some of it is stuff that we just weren't aware of, and now you're more brutally aware of it.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, I can see us getting locked down again here quite shortly based on the figures. Another thing is, I don't want to lock you down for another 2 weeks, says the Prime Minister, which probably is a way to soften us up for... You're going to be locked down for another 2 weeks. I'm fair. I never came out of the first lockdown, so...
Yeah, same. Not much, anyway.
No. So I think we'll be back next Wednesday, based on patterns.
Yeah.
As a human being, I'm good at recognising them. even when they're not there, we love to see a pattern.
That's what this is for, yeah.
That's true, yes. Maybe that's what you would test animal intelligence with, is do you like spotting a pattern, bird? If you love a pattern, you can join the club. Righty-ho, we'll be back next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
That stream?
Yeah, my recording just shat itself, and I got several alerts of... It says it's still fucking recording. I'll stop it now.